up, guys? Welcome back to the Nerdament Podcast. My name is Hayden. I'm here, as per usual, with...
Barryaga.
And...
Aaron.
So, yeah, we have a special
guest. Barryaga's coming on this episode.
Since we saved him from the arena.
Yeah, he's just been a spectator.
Yeah, so, welcome to the show, Barryaga.
How do you feel, Barryaga?
You know, there's a lot of emotions going on around me.
Accurate.
You are an empath.
So. Yeah. But I think me, personally, I feel okay. I'm okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for R5-D4 coming in and doing in real-time translations for Barryaga.
Yes.
I don't know why we didn't get a protocol droid, but...
We couldn't afford that.
Okay. So we have R5-D4 doing
it? Yes.
This? Is it because it's broken?
He was working for cheap.
You're beautiful, R5.
side of the street.
I mean, I'm sure Pelly's reasonable.
Well, sure.
She did date a Jawa once, though. She told me about that. Mm-hmm. This is weird.
Aaron, why are we here?
For those of y'all just watching this for the first time, me and Hayden created a 128C tournament using characters from Star Wars. Jedi, Sith, Other. That can handle themselves in a fight.
There are very few other left, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're losing the other.
Most of the people who've moved on are colorful.
I just gotta say,
we have an other today.
I gotta keep saying the other so that, like...
No, we don't. Never mind. Where are the others at?
Well, one, they're in black on the board.
No, I mean, who are we like doing blasters today? Where are those people at? That we're doing
well,
today.
I'll get to that in a moment.
Oh, they're down there.
Me and Hayden show up and represent our characters. Me and Hayden show up and represent our characters and argue quite a bit, and Victoria renders the final judgment.
Yeah.
Or just stops us from arguing so we can move on and keep it moving.
Yes, I also do that. Yes. I am a babysitter, mm-hmm. a facilitator, mm-hmm. a counselor.
All of those things are true, except for she's mean. Mm-hmm. She's not a good counselor.
Well, I mean, if you want a therapist, like, you could hire someone else.
Seven.
So today we have Obi-Wan versus Avar Chris, Count Dooku versus Kit Fisto, Darth Maul versus Plo Koon, and Satele Shan versus Darth Krayt.
Yeah.
Should we go with the easiest one?
Yeah, might as well.
Obi-Wan.
I will point out, though, while you're flipping to your pages here, while he gets Obi-Wan out, it's been a while, it feels like. I feel like we haven't recorded in forever.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't for them. It's been Nerdament in forever.
Yeah.
For y'all, I'm sure. The release date is going to be like normal.
This comes out next Thursday.
So the week they're receiving it, like, constantly.
They're not missing anything.
Yeah, there are no breaks for them.
For us, we filmed like a ton of other stuff in between.
We did.
Yeah.
And went and saw Doctor Strange.
Do you want to plug that?
Doctor Strange?
No, not Doctor Strange. I don't think you need to plug Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the number one movie in the world doesn't need to be plugged by us.
No.
Is he's it talking number about one? The Peaked podcast. Yes. Yeah, he is.
When did it reach number one?
Very quickly.
Like at the weekend.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't have much competition
right now.
No,
not really.
And it's a Marvel movie.
There's not a lot out.
That makes sense.
The Peaked podcast, that's spelled P-I-Q-U-E-D, is a short form educational podcast. With rotating hosts of us three, rotating combinations of us three. There are currently, as of time of listening, 5 episodes.
Oh, wow. We've shot a lot of episodes.
So you can check that out anywhere podcasts are found, or on Instagram or Twitter.
Pete. They're a lot shorter, and they're a lot calmer vibes.
Yeah. We try to keep it around 10 minutes.
Yes, we do.
There's minimal shouting.
Yes. We try very hard not to shout.
Sometimes there is shouting, but you know, you can't help it. Math is fun sometimes. All right, Aaron,
I don't think
Obi-Wan.
Any of us are. Okay. Obi-Wan. No, actually, you have Avar. You go first.
I have Avar Chris. She was a Jedi Master during the High Republic. Thought of the Force as music, could sense and strengthen bonds between the Force and other users, and could use the Force to float. The thing about Avar Chris is... in our tournament, anytime somebody from the High Republic has come up against somebody who has quite the history, they never win because we just don't have a lot of information about her or them.
Okay.
And she's fighting Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I just want to learn more about her floating.
That's just a Force thing.
I mean, you have access to our Audible, don't you? to his Audible, really.
Mm. Yeah, you do.
She's those are where the books are.
There, yeah, and yeah. She's in all of them. Yeah.
I'm sure she's in that comic too.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna read a book to find out that she floats.
That's
she
in the first floats. Chapter.
Nah.
See, it's like it's a rare force ability. Like you have to be born with like the ability to float. Like yeah. Ray, yeah, like, Ray's born with the ability to float. She's born with the ability to float.
There are like, a lot yeah. of people who have like very specific powers that like, not a lot of people have.
Force echoes, psychometry. When Ray picked up the dagger and said terrible things happened with this, she was sensing the memories. Cal also had that. Quinlan Voss had that. Like it's a specific.
Yeah. Or foresight.
Thing. Oh, okay.
That yeah. kind of
thing. Yeah. So it's some things are just things you're born with regardless.
Yeah. They're just born that. Buryaga is born naturally an empath.
Makes sense.
Yeah, he's so very people, strong with like sensing other people's
yeah. So emotions. I think levitation is just like they're born like that whenever they get into a deep meditation.
Predisposed.
Yes. That whenever they're in a deep, deep meditation, they'll start floating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where I think others have to like consciously do it.
Yeah.
These things make sense.
She does it like while channeling a lot of force through her to do other things, and she just happens to float.
Yeah.
He has an Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Uh-huh.
How much do you need to know?
Hayden, you're the one that's okay with cursing. Can you say the Ewan McGregor thing?
Oh, the thing that he said when, like, about to when the child or whatever?
Like when the high school student cut him off.
Yeah. And it's fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. How much do you need to know?
I will allow Aaron to give his top points that he wanted to share today. You have three.
Well, check out Obi-Wan Kenobi coming out on Disney Plus. what day is this coming out again? Next Thursday? Oh,
next Thursday, which so it's is probably like the... a week
before, until it happens.
What is today? The 11th? So that's the 19th.
Don't speak into your hands.
Okay, yeah. In eight days from when this episode releases, check out Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus. Two, Obi-Wan Kenobi is the best duelist in the galaxy during his time period where duels were very, very common. His only combatants were Count Dooku, who he fought evenly with continuously, and his other combatant was Anakin Skywalker, who they thought he was... and equal to Obi-Wan Kenobi, but then they settled that on Mustafar when...
And we all know what happened.
Yeah. When Obi-Wan got the high ground. And three, Avar Chiss does not have that much involved in combat. As with many of the High Republic people, they don't have much lightsaber combat with them, while Obi-Wan Kenobi was in combat constantly. And including, starting from the time when he was 25... throughout his entire life.
When he cut somebody in half.
Yeah, when he was the first Jedi to kill a Sith Lord in 1,000 years.
Okay. You make valid points. I shall now deliberate.
Do you need to... There's you harder matchups today.
Spit it out!
Okay, I mean, if you're gonna force me, I must now deliberate longer. Mm.
So Obi-Wan Kenobi wins.
No, this is my thing. You hired me to do this one thing.
There.
Shut up. Obi-Wan wins.
Yay.
No shit.
I'll punch you in your stupid look ponytail. Who
he's fighting in the next round.
Who? Oh, is he fighting?
Ahsoka Tano.
Ooh, that's going to be hard for me.
Things
get personal.
It's going to be hard for us all. Good thing is, in the next round, we're only doing two matchups an episode.
Let's get on to one of the hard ones.
No, why?
While we're still calm.
Which ones?
Yeah.
Plo Koon and Darth Maul.
Fine.
I agree. You need time to get angry in the non-game.
I should have told you this before, but I heard a thing on TikTok from a different podcast that I can't remember the name of, that was an argument against Darth Maul that actually made like a lot of sense.
Oh, no, I'm this is going to be the first time when I'm bringing up my argument that I'm going to cite a TikTok user.
Oh.
I'm going to cite an outside source that is not Wikipedia or the Reddit Respect Threads.
Wow. We've come far here on this podcast.
I use Reddit Respect
Threads. Yes. So, do you remember the name of the TikTok?
No, dude, I don't. I don't. Okay. And my phone's over there.
Okay. Don't be sassy.
The TikTok.
It was a podcast that has the guy who played Freddy from Scooby-Doo. That actor who also is a voice actor who voice acted in Star Wars. You know who I'm talking about?
We know the guy, but...
You would recognize his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, though.
But he voice acted in Star Wars and, like, his... Like, they have a podcast where they talk about Star Wars a lot and stuff like that. And he was actually had a good point in a separate episode. Iron looks it up.
Which Freddy was he?
The live action.
Live Freddy. Action Freddy?
Yeah. Like, those really bad ones.
Okay. They weren't the worst.
They were pretty bad.
Okay, for children, they weren't that bad.
But he had a good point about like how Star Wars fans get mad really easily about the movies not aging with them. So the first movies were made for kids.
Yeah.
The prequels were made for different kids.
Yeah.
And then the sequel were made for different kids.
Yeah.
But the same Star Wars fans get mad at all of them because they're not aging with them. They're not keeping up with their aging.
I mean,
they're made for kids. Star Wars, all the Star Wars stuff is made for kids, but it's just different generations.
You know how I feel about this? Mm. I feel like if you are not a part of the Percy Jackson fandom, you can't talk shit, okay? Because we got rolled over hard, okay?
Well, they did finally announce the actors.
Yeah. We finally are getting redemption, but after how many years?
Too many.
Exactly. So stop complaining. Eat some cereal.
I did see. You didn't read the Kane Chronicles, okay? Aaron, you read a little bit of the Kane Chronicles.
I saw what you're about to say.
Well, it was somebody watching Moon Knight when Tawaret showed up.
Yeah.
And he was pointing at the thing and he quoted, what is his name? The lion from Narnia.
Aslan.
He's like, do not quote the old magic.
Do not.
Which I was there when it was written.
Yeah.
And it said, Kane Chronicle fans when watching Moon Knight.
I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the fact that Kane Chronicles is getting a movie on Netflix.
For real?
Yeah.
It is?
Apparently it got announced that it's getting a Netflix movie.
Why Netflix and not Disney?
I don't know.
That's weird.
I have no idea.
We have tangented very hard.
Yeah,
yes, we have.
Aaron, can you find his name?
Freddie Prinze Jr. We're talking about. But I'm kind of... He puts down Star Wars haters quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things coming up.
Well,
so
where did he voice act in Star Wars as... Freddie Prinze Jr.
You asked too many questions.
He's trying to get the fans.
He was Kanan. Kanan Jarrus.
Okay.
Who fought Yoda in this last round.
Oh.
And it's like one of the most beloved Jedi Masters. He also had the longest line as in Rise of Skywalker among like the Force ghosts.
Yes.
Are you first or am I first?
No, you are. Because you're Plo Koon's seed number 42.
Okay. So, I have Plo Koon.
Winner gets Kylo Ren.
Okay.
During his early time in the Jedi Order, he was probably a Jedi Seeker, going around looking for Force-sensitive people, where he met Ahsoka Tano and forged a lifelong friendship with her. By the Battle of Naboo, he was on the High Council. And he stayed there for the rest of his life. He was sent to Geonosis at the beginning of the Clone Wars and was one of the 70 Jedi that lived. He was first to survive a deadly secret weapon that could destroy fleets. And he, in the end, he helped destroy it immediately after that. His clone battalion was the 104th Battalion, known as the Wolf Pack. The duty of the Wolf Pack is to... They're a search and rescue unit that get employed whenever a Jedi or any other troops are in like desperate situations of distress.
No.
I mixed up those two words.
Distressful situations.
Yes, desperate and distressful situations, and they have to get rescued by somebody, and oftentimes they go into very hostile conditions. Very unstable conditions, and often hot drop zones, including rescuing Anakin and Mace Windu from a collapsing bridge of a Venator. And during the Citadel, the most fortified place in the Separatists, The Wolfpack was chosen to go in and rescue Anakin, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Tarkin.
They're the Israeli special forces.
Yes, they're the Wolfpack is basically the Green Berets,
which are not the Israeli special forces.
No,
we know that.
But they're like very even more specialized Green Berets, and Plo Koon was chosen to lead them because one, he was he always kept a calm head. No matter the situation, Plo Koon was always extremely calm. So he was a perfect choice for this. And in those situations where Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka, all three of them together, desperately needed backup, Plo Koon was completely calm and logical during it. Two, he was compassionate. Many of the Jedi during this time, in expelling passion from them, came off cold and distant. Plo Koon and Obi-Wan, I think, are the best examples of Jedi during this period that don't let passion, that keep out passion, but don't keep out compassion, kind of. He had a very close bond with Ahsoka, but he was very logical despite that, but he cared deeply for people. And he was, cared deeply for his clones, the people he was rescuing, other Jedi, but without it turning into passion. He helped stop Aurra Sing and Boba Fett whenever they started that whole thing and tried to kill Mace Windu. And he was, whenever the Order 66 came, he was, this specific one really hurts considering how much he loved clones. how much he cared for them, but he was shot down during a dog fight.
You think if he wasn't flying a ship, he would have survived?
Probably, Order 66?
Yeah. even though it was like the wolf pack?
Yeah, I think the thing that really like hits is that it would have been worse if it was the wolf pack that killed him, but I think the wolf pack would have shown more hesitation.
Hmm.
Like Rex hesitated to shoot at Ahsoka. I think the wolf pack would have held more hesitation.
It's possible.
Yeah, because he was kind of like a father figure to everybody around him.
Papa Plo.
Yeah. They literally, on the side of the gunship, they literally have a picture, like that bomber kind of pictures that they drew. They had a picture of Plo's like face and several clones around it. And then it says in Orabesh, Plo's bros. that's the gunship they use.
That's funny.
His biggest dual feat is, at one point, Adigalia, another member of the High Council, was captured by Grievous, and he boarded with the Wolfpack, boarded Grievous's ship, cut all the way into the bridge, defeated Grievous off-screen, rescued Adigalia, and returned back to the, near the hangar area in a very short amount of time.
Not the off-screen defeat. That's so, it's like, embarrassing.
It's like the when Squirrel Girl beat Thanos.
Yeah, off-screen, because they like, it's not important enough.
For it's, us yeah, to show it's not you. Important how he beat him. It's
He's just that he did.
Yeah,
and that's all you need to know.
You both said he.
Yeah, we're talking about Plo Koon, not Squirrel Girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he defeated Grievous off-screen very quickly.
Okay.
For Jedi, that was kind of difficult.
Yeah, considering he was a Jedi killer. And he's like,
nice about Grievous now.
I.
He probably
it's,
won't.
It's advantageous for me.
It's advantageous for me.
He was. His body is also able to withstand like amounts of pressure, like
space
and crushing. Kind of sensation. And his force ability, he was able to, with Ahsoka, while she was still extremely young, they were able to stabilize the Venator Bridge from falling apart completely. Like when it was right on the brink of falling apart completely.
He also has a deep heavenly voice.
He does. He also has the most, like, dope line. Whenever you're like, Boba Fett's like an Aurra Sing during that, like, standoff. Like, Boba Fett went back when he's like a child and was just like, I just want justice. And then Plo Koon just calmly says, we are justice. Without being minorly fazed by it. He also, Aurra Sing, also known bounty, Jedi killer. He beat her on to the quick draw and cut her blaster in half. That's all my founding stuff on Plo Koon. Hey.
Alright. I have Darth Maul. Alright, Darth Maul killed Qui-Gon at his coming out party. Who was thought to be one of the most capable fighters of his time. Alright, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, he fought them both at the same time. This was before Obi-Wan changed fighting styles, but that's whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was both of them at the same time. Okay. He commanded. It's been like a week since I wrote these things down, so it's tough. He commanded any one-on-one fight he had. Versus Obi-Wan for at least a little bit. Ooh. He did. Obi-Wan never showed up and instantly stomped him.
I need to respond to that. That's Obi-Wan's form, though.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's form is to be defensive and let the other person dictate the fight.
He incapacitated Savage Opress in seconds. And at the time he appeared, he was the best trained dueling Sith in centuries. It's probably since Malgus. But the training wasn't like Jedi training. It was like, do this and I'll start cutting off limbs kind of training.
Okay.
Electric.
Yeah, torture. Pretty bad. Stuff. He was able to manipulate things on a molecular level, which was shown when he was creating his lightsaber. He moved things around using the force, like in molecules. He can make an entire crowd blind to his presence. So he could basically be standing amongst entire crowds and they couldn't even realize he was there.
So he can conceal his presence.
Yeah. He's able to cut through a wall between triggering a rocket and it firing. So, like, that was at some point in the Clone Wars. Yeah. They came out with a rocket launcher and they trigger it and he cut through a wall and jumped through before the rocket was even left.
Is that a Mandalorian or a pirate?
I do not know.
Okay, continue.
He uses lightsaber as a shield by moving it so fast that it is impenetrable. Because he has a double bladed lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a spinning thing. Except for instead of gatekeep up there. His spinny thing doesn't have a hole.
It's a manual spin thing. Yeah, it's a manual. It's like Cal Kestis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or like Color Guard.
Yeah.
That's another way to describe it.
That's the form they're using. The same like spins with a flag is exactly the form they're using.
Yeah. He crushes Durasteel with his foot. Like by stomping on it, crushed Durasteel.
That was with a robotic leg. Right?
No, it was before he killed Qui-Gon.
Okay.
He choked someone so hard that blood started coming out of their eyes and their mouth, and this was like a 7-foot-tall beast kind of guy.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah. Pain. Pain means nothing to him? It looks like pear.
That's your own handwriting. That's my own handwriting.
Come on, man.
But pain means nothing to him. He basically, he'll feel pain, but obviously since he's a Sith, it does not faze him very much. He uses it for his own power.
I think whenever Sidious showed up, killed Savage, and then shocked him, I think he felt pain.
He did.
His scream said he felt pain.
Yeah. He can tank Force Lightning.
Can he?
Yes.
He didn't then.
Yes. Multiple stun bolts do nothing to him. All right, so those like circular things you haven't seen, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's basically in
A New Hope
thing.
Too.
It like knocks you out.
Oh, okay.
It's like a ring, like when they shoot it's like a blue ring.
It's like,
yeah, it's basically a it's
yeah
like a stun gun.
It didn't phase him.
Okay.
He wrecked through a Republic cruiser without a lightsaber after Order 66 when those clones were trying to kill everybody with a lightsaber. He didn't have a lightsaber. He was using like parts of the ship and he's like ripping it off the walls and like, yeah.
He has a hallway scene.
Yeah, he does. Like the Darth Vader hallway scene or the Luke Well, we've seen he has one of those. He can use acrobatics and fast lightsaber skills in quick succession during a fight. So he's like jumping around and spinning. Because he's not actually that big. Mainly How because big is Ray Park is not that big. He's like 5'6", 5'7", somewhere in there. I've seen him in person. He is definitely shorter than you think he would be.
Really?
The shorter part or seeing him in person part?
The shorter part.
Yeah.
Ray Park's 5'9".
Yeah. But he looks short, I guarantee you. Because I'm 5'9".
Yeah.
He was shorter than me. Okay. Right? But...
So then are you 5'9"?
Mm-hmm. It could be like the...
Okay.
Like the official height.
Yeah, like sometimes like basketball players are like 6'9", but in reality... Yeah,
sometimes with celebrities, they may like bump up a few inches. Like, if they measure him, then somebody's going to be like, we're just going to move it up like from 5'7", to 5'9".
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he uses he moves his double-bladed lightsaber fast while incorporating flips and spins and stuff like that. Darth Maul. You've seen Darth Maul do this.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to get into my...
You've seen Plo Koo die, too.
Yes. Okay.
She didn't see... okay. I'm going to get into the main part of my argument now. And this is where I'm going to credit TikTok user, the Jedi Always. All lowercase, underscore between the words. The Jedi Always. He does a lot of very calm, nuanced commentary and like analysis of... Star Wars films and everything. Y'all should go check him out. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a character analysis of Mace Windu and Darth Maul. And for Darth Maul, he brought up a lot of really good points. And that my thing's basically going to be based off of that. So Darth Maul, despite he's very powerful... And he's very well skilled. But the biggest fallback Maul has causes him to be, basically for where he is on our tournament, he has the worst win-loss record of anybody in the top half of the bracket. He's won, twice.
Outright wins?
Like, he beat, I'm count.
Qui-Gon.
It says something that we're having to check. They didn't actually fight
that. Yeah, but just he's like...
I get. Well, I'll count that. Yeah, I think those are all of them.
Ahsoka.
Okay, 2.5, counting the Savage as a half. The other times where he defeated an Inquisitor.
Oh, okay.
But in those are in actual duels. He gets defeated... All of the time.
Okay, here's a question.
No, please.
If he is so powerful, why does he get defeated so easily?
That's where I'm getting to. Maul is the... This happens with a lot of Sith, but this is Maul's main problem that causes him to lose most of his fights. Is he is the most arrogant as you can get. He...
Sith usually are.
Oh, yeah.
He really only... I can only think of two times he went into a fight not thinking, this is going to be really easy for me, and I'm going to finish this quickly. And one of those was fighting Qui-Gon, and that's only really half because he also underestimated Obi-Wan, which I'll get into that in a moment. And the other one is when he fought Darth Sidious, and that fight was over in 5 minutes with Sidious killing Savage and then torturing Maul. But I know Hayden's used this argument before that maybe it'll be different this time since we have a different setup. Maul has fought Obi-Wan half a dozen times throughout his life. It doesn't matter how many times he loses, every single time he goes into that fight, he thinks little of Obi-Wan and he refuses to change his arrogance. So the first time when he's killing Qui-Gon, when he's fighting Qui-Gon, he's like, oh, that's just a Padawan. Just kick him out of the way and kill his master. And then whenever he kills Qui-Gon, he's just like, ha-ha, I killed your master. You're just Padawan. You're nothing to me. Then he gets cut in half. and then the next time he finds Obi-Wan, he surprises Obi-Wan, has him come alone, and he thinks Maul is alone. And then he doesn't actually fight him. He has Savage jump him and knock him out. And then when he has Obi-Wan on the ropes, he has this long monologue where he's disparaging Obi-Wan, saying like, "Ah, yeah, you're nothing. I thought this was gonna be hard." And they called you master. That's an actual quote he used. And then Ventress showed up, and gave Obi-Wan one of her lightsabers, and then Maul lost to Obi-Wan again. And then, and the last time they meet, like at the years later, when this is like old Ben, he sees him again. And this coming from Sam Witwer, the voice of Maul in Clone Wars and Rebels, and Dave Filoni, they described that Maul saw Obi-Wan and just like, this is a desert rat. He's a nothing. He's washed up. He's just doing a cushy job, and he has no idea what he's doing. I've defeated everything. I've destroyed everything about this man without any effort. He's nothing. I can beat him easily. And then that's the day Maul died.
Yep.
Finally died.
Yeah, it was three hits, too. It was very quick, like, decisive fight. Like, kind of like actual, like, real world sword fights that are, like, really quick. It's kind of like that. But also caused him, when he saw Ahsoka, he saw her and thought, this is a 17-year-old who was kicked out of the Jedi Order. She's nothing. And then Ahsoka beat him. Then he sees Kanan Jarrus right after he surprised him and blinded him. So he's still, like, hurting from the wound. He hasn't had time to adjust to the new reality he has. And Kanan shows up to him again. And in the most, probably the lowest point of his career, but not like one of the highest points of his power, Maul sees Kanan, like, still in pain and still coming to terms with the fact of, like, he's blind and how to see again. He fights Kanan one-on-one, just like, oh, this is going to be easy. And then he barely strikes at him once before Kanan throws him off of a pyramid. So Maul's arrogance, he goes into every fight thinking ever since he killed Qui-Gon, he thinks he's more than he is.
Do you have a counter at all?
Maul is Sisyphus from Greek myth. You remember who Sisyphus
is? Yeah, of course I do.
Would you like to explain who Sisyphus is?
I don't know if he's exactly Sisyphus. Sisyphus was a very cocky guy. He was very arrogant too, but I don't know if I don't know if Maul is exactly a Sisyphus.
How does Sisyphus end?
The gods gather him together in the underworld and have him, his punishment for the end of time is they say, if you can take this boulder and roll it all the way up that to the other side of the mountain, then you can get immortality. So Sisyphus pushes up the boulder, almost makes it, and then it rolls back down. And he's constantly trying to get it up to the top.
Oh, that guy. So I remember that guy.
Apparently.
I don't know if he's...
Apparently. George Lucas is a big fan of Greek mythology. And Darth Maul has the same cycle as Sisyphus. On purpose.
Okay.
He is destined to fail, no matter how good he thinks he is, or how much he thinks he's done. He will always lose.
Yeah. So, yeah. Basically, my entire... Yeah. The entire part of my argument here is that... I'm sorry. I looked at that.
Yeah. we'll get there in a second.
Yeah.
It's not a great episode for me.
Yeah, for Darth Maul, he goes into every fight thinking he has the skills to take on a master, but he goes into every fight thinking he's more, that this is going to be an easy fight for him, that he's more skilled, more powerful than he is, and that everything's easy for him. And that causes him to basically go in at the level of a Padawan against a master. Plo Koon, I stated before, he stays calm no matter what. He takes everything very seriously. He has the level to be sent in when Jedi like Obi-Wan, Anakin have failed.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think I think it's pretty obvious that Plo Koon would win. Sorry, dude. Tough nuts.
Can we do the other loss?
Yeah. Don't worry. I said it.
This one, I knew.
Wait, before you get on it, I'm going to plug Jedi Always once more. Once again, check out the Jedi Always on TikTok. Again, all lowercase, the Jedi Always, underscore in between the words. Cool. Go ahead.
Okay. Plo Koon will be fighting Kylo Ren in the next round.
Yeah, that's going to be dope.
All right, so this is one of my all-time favorite characters. I'd like to preface that. That is why I thought when I first started doing research that he would win, that he had a chance. He's over there. Mm-hmm. Behind your head. I thought he had a chance. Did more research. He don't really...
No.
He don't really have a chance.
He doesn't have very many instances where he duels.
He doesn't. He fought Grievous once.
Yeah, and he beat Grievous.
He did. Once. Hmm. This is Kit Fisto. He was strong enough to hold two lightsabers from Grievous with his one. He cut off a hand of Grievous, blocked strikes from Sidious. And we all know.
Yeah. He lasted much longer than the other two.
Yes.
In that, going into that fight, if we're being honest, it was just Mace Windu and Kit Fisto versus Sidious.
It was. Those other two were cannon fodder.
Yeah.
He blocks blaster bolts without looking. Grievous is fast, but not as fast as Kit Fisto. Mm-hmm. He survived the Geonosis Arena, fended off three Magna Guards to get to Grievous. Defeated Grievous because of his older fighting style, his Form 1. Mm. Sad.
No, he's not sad.
No, it's just sad for Hayden.
I know, but like...
Because he's fighting Count Dooku.
Yeah.
Who is the other best duelist in the galaxy during this time period. And also, I should state, he uses Form 2, which was designed to be the weakness of Form 1.
Which is what Kit Fisto uses.
Yeah.
And the only one he's defeated...
Is Grievous.
Is Grievous, who uses Form 1. Yeah,
at the beginning of the Clone Wars. Yeah.
Mm. Grievous technically knows many of them, but... Yeah. Do I need to go on?
Nah.
Okay. This is sad. Can we pluck Kit Fisto out of the arena? Just... He gets to stay up here with Buriaga.
No, I like that it hurts Hayden.
Kit Fisto's a chill guy.
What the hell? We're fine. Dad. I must destroy you now.
We'll sneak Kit out.
Don't worry. Okay, not the back door.
He's dead. All
right. Well, then Dooku wins, I guess.
What?
Dooku wins?
Oh, yeah, Dooku wins.
Good.
Satele Shan versus Darth Krayt.
I must take out all of my anger and anguish on Darth Krayt now.
But you're representing the Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand.
Technically, I go first.
Yeah.
It's good. You can finally do some work around here.
This guy has the longest origin of anybody written. It just kept going.
Okay. Just give us the Cliff Notes version.
He was the son of a Jedi who was a Tusken Raider, who lived in a Tusken, village for a while, then Orsin killed his dad, and then he went into the Jedi Order, and he was good friends with Anakin Skywalker. This is the Legends, so.
Wait, who are we talking about again?
Darth Krayt.
Darth Krayt, okay.
Yeah, he's a Tusken Raider.
You probably remember it. It'll start sounding familiar, you're saying.
Okay.
No, he had
a rough life.
he was Anakin Skywalker's best friend, and they were like peers in the Jedi Council. Anakin actually told him about he's the only one other than Padme who knew about the incident where Anakin kills an entire village of Tusken Raiders. Which, he did not react how I thought he would react.
Mm. Not yet.
Yeah, no. This was a very calm... Asherat Het, his name at this point. Mm. He eventually survived Order 66. tried to wage war against the Empire, eventually going to Tatooine, where he found Ben Kenobi. And then Ben Kenobi beat him and said, hey, do not lure them here. So he left and eventually became a bounty hunter. Was doing all that for a time. This is a kind of like lulling point in his life. So after this, during the Legends, this is where the Yuuzhan Vong come in. This is where the things get really hardcore really fast. The Yuuzhan Vong are outside species.
Outside of the galaxy.
Yeah. And they're resistant to the Force.
Yes.
They came in, captured him, and tortured him for a very long time. Shortly before this, he trained as a Sith on Korriban for a while, but he did not give himself fully to the dark side yet. Whenever he was tortured by the Yuuzhan Vong is when he gave him to himself fully into the dark side and broke out and destroyed their ship and left. And whenever he left, he went and founded the One Sith in secret, remained there for like 100 years or so. Luke knew about him because they had to like fight together at one point. But he stayed on the down low for about 100 years. On Korriban, this is my time. There are no Skywalkers left. They've all died off. And then he went out and tried and overthrew the government.
That was his first order of action?
Overthrow the government.
Dance revolution.
He did what, these two took so long to do, and that's just, like, a footnote in his, like, that's step one. It's not, you don't need to expand on it. He overthrew the government.
I mean, get it.
He ruled for 7 years, until the Emperor, that's another Emperor, and the Galactic Alliance, joined forces and then cornered him, and then at that point, he heard that there was a Skywalker left named Cade Skywalker. And then he decided to devote all of his resources into finding Cade Skywalker whenever, like, he was cornered. But don't worry that those two, like, the Emperor and the Galactic Alliance, don't come into the rest of the story. So apparently they low-key were not very good at fighting this guy.
Yeah. It's kind of your job, dog.
Yeah. He hunted down Cade Skywalker. For a while, and then his like second in command jumped him, stabbed him, and then threw him off a cliff. He lived through the fall, and then his second came down there with him and then stabbed him again.
I lived.
And he
you want to bet?
And then Darth Krayt died. But then he didn't die because he healed his body over the course of like 20 years or something like that.
Well, damn.
Live through this, noob.
Yeah, like stabbed twice in the fall off a cliff. I don't think he caught himself either. I think he just fell.
What is the point if you gotta heal yourself for 20 years?
It was like so much damage he had to heal himself for like a long period of time.
I would just be fine with being dead. Like,
oh no.
No, he's a Sith now.
He's pulling the Sith vibe.
Okay.
They don't like dying.
Yeah.
They never die quietly, do they?
No, they don't. Oh, I want to talk about quiet, not doing anything quietly. Whenever he healed himself, he announced his arrival to the galaxy, Emperor Palpatine style, except he didn't bother sending out a message. He reached out through the Force to every dark side user in the galaxy and basically made them like feel his presence once again.
That's like, gross.
It's weird. I don't know. Whenever he healed himself fully, like every dark side user in the galaxy is just like, oh no, Darth Krayt's alive.
Thank you for touching me.
Feeling him again.
Through my emotions.
Where was I? He retook Coruscant and fought his second in command. By the way, his name was Darth Wirlock. He fought him again and killed him.
Terrible name.
Yeah. It has two Ys in there too.
Did he stab him and then push him off the thing?
No.
Jump down and like stab him again.
No, he learned that that's not a foolproof way to kill somebody.
It's like a Mortal Kombat finishing move.
Yeah, I think he went even more like finishing move on this guy.
Reach in there and pull out his spine.
Yep. He might have, actually. I don't know. That I don't think I wrote down how he killed Werelock. He tried to turn Kate Skywalker to the dark side unsuccessfully. And he was killed by Kate Skywalker. And Kate Skywalker, to ensure that he would not rise again, sent his body into the sun.
Oh.
I mean, into a sun, rather.
That's one way.
You mean a star?
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah, but they refer to it as a sun on the comic.
They don't get it.
Yeah, I know, man. It's not correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
He uses Form 6.
Almost died.
I saw that.
He uses Form 6, the very all-arounder form. And also, as a Sith, he uses Dark Eye, so he has two lightsabers. One of them is yellowish-green, the other one's red. So he has two lightsabers that are different colors.
I mean, I guess. Do what you want.
Along with the normal Sith powers, he also has a lightning shield that he can use to, like, block lightsaber attacks. Like, he's fighting Stella Shan here, where she, like, blocked Malgus's lightsaber with the Force. He can do that too, but, like, it has more flair because it's lightning when he does it.
Okay. I mean, go off.
He can also, he has a Tuna Menace, which is, like, blocking blaster bolts. Like your hand.
Mm-hmm.
He also knows how to... Another thing that's like a genetic thing. He has chatter points.
Which
makes him... He and Mace Windu have it that I know of. But they see like the weak points in a structure. Like if you see... If there needs a shatter of glass, then they see the weakness in it. And then they can focus the force on that spot. And then it will shatter.
Oh.
And they can do that with... feasibly any material.
That's interesting. It's not as cool as floating, but
yeah, it's not it's also not like 100% canon. Mace Windu used it in an episode of Clone Wars, but they didn't name it, so mm-hmm. It's like low-key canon.
They haven't decided if they're gonna keep it around yet.
Yeah, it's not named.
They do that a lot.
Yeah, so again, the defeats, he beat Anakin Skywalker in a duel early on in the Clone Wars. He beat Aurra Sing when he was a Padawan, killed four Imperial Knights, which are basically Inquisitors, all at once. He killed several Uzan Vong with lightning, defeated Kay Skywalker with lightning, like, during the fight, and then just, like, while they were, like, mid-fight, then he just turned on lightning and just kind of, like, tortured him for a while, you know, as you do when you're a really powerful Sith.
Naturally. It's like our go-to move.
Yeah.
If they didn't do that in a fight, they'd be like, what are you doing? What kind of fight is this?
Technically, Darth Maul has never used lightning, so...
Yeah, well, Darth Maul is dead, Aaron.
Yeah, yes, okay. Savage, too. It's not a Dathomirian thing.
I guess not. Unless you're a Night Sister, because they can do it.
Well, they didn't use lightning, though. They had, like, wispy attacks.
Mystic green gas.
Yeah. Yeah, but not lightning.
That's what it looked like.
It sounds like they just farted on people and they died.
But it was glowing.
Move on. Move on. They got whack intestines.
What is edible on Dathomir?
Nothing.
Okay.
Most of them are zombies anyways, Aaron.
Yeah. He partially drained Luke Skywalker's force powers for a time. Luke saw him... as powerful as the Chosen One. Saw him as the same... Grandmaster Luke saw him at the same power as Anakin Skywalker. At full potential.
Sure, why not?
After healing himself, there's that whole thing. Took the Uzan Vong ship after he was getting tortured and destroyed it.
You get two more things.
No, he needs all of them.
What? You're usually on my side with cutting him off.
He was held as Luke's equal in the Force.
Okay.
Like in the sequels, Snoke says that he thought Kylo Ren was his equal. In Legends, Darth Krayt was Luke's equal. And my final thing again is, I just have to reiterate because it's so ridiculous to me. He got stabbed, thrown off a cliff, stabbed again, and then left.
After 20 years.
We don't know how high the cliff was.
It was a very big cliff.
Okay.
This is Star Wars. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there aren't short cliffs.
Yeah. Star Wars loves having, like...
He's had it the whole time.
This entire time.
But, like, where?
I brought it from my dorm.
You brought the one Coke?
Yes.
That's weird.
I thought... Oh, I'll explain it off air.
Alright.
But, this is... Star Wars likes having, like, bottomless pits kind of thing. This wasn't technically bottomless, but it had the vibe of a bottomless pit, and they threw them off. So, go ahead.
Alright. So, Talia Shan. She was the Jedi Grandmaster during, or one of the Jedi Grandmasters during the Old Republic time. She is a descendant of Revan. You remember Revan?
Yes.
Homie that can somehow teleport. She's a
descendant of him?
Yeah.
Okay.
She destroyed a blast door piece by piece with the Force, like that Shatterpoint thing. Mm-hmm. Except for she just saw a blast door and was like, and then it was just like, boom. Like, spread of power, and then it was, like, in tiny little pieces. So she just walked through.
She have to see specific parts of it, or can she just, like, destroy it? No, she just
took it apart.
Yeah. Sounds like she just kind of, like, pushed on, like, had it, basically pushed on it, and then suddenly it just started falling apart.
Well, it looks like if that door over there, if I were to do this to it, it would, like, come towards me, but it would be in smaller pieces, so I could walk through. That's what she
like did. It was kind of disintegrating kind of thing, but in larger pieces.
More like if she just like slashed it real like a lot randomly,
like
and then pulled it apart.
Take like a solid block of ice, and then you just start stabbing it with an ice pick.
Sure.
If that works for you,
no, not like that. No, no. But I'm like, talking like if you took like if I took like a piece of wood and then I started sawing on it at like random points without it falling apart and then use the Force to take it apart at like random in random pieces that are like this big.
So basically if you just broke something. Moving on.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways. Sounds like the ice.
I can show you the picture when we're done.
Just throw glass on the ground, you'll understand.
Alright. She brought down an entire mountain on top of somebody named Darth Malgus. She destroyed hex droids with her, which are Jedi killing droids, with a wave, like a, and then, you know, like she like forced a wave, and then it just like they all were destroyed. She grew up and gained power through a war, which we know how important that is when it comes to dueling. Okay. She has the power of foresight, so she can see the future. And if I jump down here, many of her time thought that she could even change the future by just predicting it.
Are you bringing this back?
Yes. She could defeat Malgus.
On the bright side, he's being a bit more specific.
Yeah, and caught his blade between her hands.
Hmm.
She can manipulate biological material and maintain a force shield containing an air bubble at the same time.
Okay.
What do you mean by manipulate biological material?
Like in a, that's not supposed to happen. Like, you're a Jedi. Stop doing that.
Okay.
She is adept in battle meditation to aid her other fellow combatants.
The thing where she, like, reinforces her combatants and, like, draws from the enemy's power?
Yeah.
Okay.
She, like, taking other people's power to put into her own team. She was outdone by Malgus in a duel when she was younger, until she unleashed her full force power, which overwhelmed him and surprised him. That's when the mountain thing happened.
That was pre, like, respirator Malgus,
too. Yeah, well, the reason he has a respirator
is because of the mountain.
Is because of the mountain.
Okay.
She was an agile fighter with jumps and spins and dodges and counter-strikes. She used a double-bladed lightsaber, so that usually comes with it. And then lastly, this is how they captured and eventually killed Malgus. Do you remember how powerful Malgus is?
Yeah.
I've talked about him quite a few times.
I know. You have a weird obsession with him.
I do. how they finally caught him was there was like armies coming after him and he was like bring it on like let's go because he's crazy and then like they just like were fighting and stuff. It was Jedi, Sith, droids, like, or not droids, but like their version of clone troopers and stuff like that. And then Satelli Shan showed up and she was like floating above everybody and then she just basically forced him onto his knees and made it to where he couldn't move anymore, and then that's how they got him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How
much force does it take for her to do that?
A lot.
Okay.
To make it to where he can't even move?
She floated in like Superman?
Yeah, a little bit. You know Superman in Justice League when he showed up and like destroyed
Steppenwolf?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that.
Okay.
Okay.
So she is like no slouch. Like she's extremely powerful. Like even when she lost to Malgus in dueling, which we all know how good Malgus is when it comes to dueling. Then she could just focus on her force powers, which then overwhelmed him anyways. So she's just borderline. And that was at that point before Respirator Malgus. She was just barely below him, who had trained for many, many years. Many years. He was probably the best duelist in the galaxy. It was just below him. But then when he defeated her, slashed up her lightsaber or whatever, disarmed her, she was able to almost bore, like, very close to killing him with just the Force.
Well, damn.
So.
Maybe that's a more...
So tell Sean.
Maybe that's a more foolproof way to kill somebody than stabbing them, throwing off a cliff, and then stabbing them again.
Mm. Yeah.
But technically, I would say that it sounds more foolproof to do that. But technically, Malgus didn't die.
No, because he's just angry.
He's just so mad.
I thought of a new way to describe that door thing. All right, so you know in Endgame when Scarlet Witch picks up Thanos is like picking off pieces of his armor.
I think so. Yeah,
like when she's like tearing, she's holding him up and like tearing his armor off.
Oh yeah,
it's like that.
Yeah, he's coming off in chunks.
But she did it to a blast door.
Okay,
which people, if you want to get through those, you have to cut through it with the lightsaber.
Okay,
it's excessive.
Yeah. But also, remember, she...
It's a flex.
She caught Malgus's lightsaber like this. This was after she was disarmed.
Mm. Wait. Satele did?
Yes.
Okay,
so Satele caught... No, Scarlet Witch.
It's kind of... It's a Scarlet Witch thing that she could do.
Yeah.
It even looked like... If it was just glowing red around the blade, yeah, that would totally be something...
It was blue.
Yeah, it glowed... It actually did glow even more like Scarlet Witch, but it like glowed like a wispy blue.
Yeah, but she like caught it, and then that's when she was able to use like the Force to basically push him through into a mountain, and then
wasn't that on Alderaan too?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And then she did that. It wasn't like Malgus's body destroyed the bottom of the mountain, and then it fell on him. She like pushed him in the mountain, and then pulled the mountain down on top of him.
Oh,
like,
she was also the one who put the mountain on.
Yeah.
Him? Oh, damn.
So.
Okay.
So tell Sean. Also, she got all of her powers from Revan and Revan's wife, who was also a Jedi Master. She got the power from them.
Okay. Well,
these are two dynastic people.
Yes.
Which is ironic, considering Jedi are not supposed to. Considering Jedi are not supposed to have relationships.
They are not. But we here now.
Yeah.
All right, and she's just out there throwing mountains around on people.
You didn't even mention she is Grandmaster.
I did. It was the first thing I said. Okay. He was Grandmaster during the...
Because during all that... Was she Grandmaster whenever she like brought Malgus to his knees?
Yes. Okay. To the knees? Yes.
Yeah.
To the mountain? No.
No.
To the mountain.
That was before her master was dead.
No, it wasn't. It was after.
Because whenever he killed her master, he had the respirator on.
No, he didn't. He was like... Because he was an apprentice, technically, at that time.
Okay.
This was after that, but before the respirator. But the knees thing, that was after respirator.
Okay.
And after he took down the Jedi Temple single-handedly.
Okay.
Yeah,
not to mention
Malgus
that
did that, too. Stormed it. Or, but he didn't storm it. He walked up the steps.
With, like, an assassin? Was that with an assassin?
Yeah. He walked up the steps and then took down the Jedi Temple. And then she basically says, sit down. And he's like, all right.
Like that TikTok trend? Yeah.
Okay. So, sit down, Sean. Okay. Questions?
I don't have any questions.
Winner?
I do have a winner, unless anyone has any final comments. Are we good?
Go ahead.
Okay. So tell Sean wins. Because in my head, I just see her, like, doing the whole stab, fall, but with the Force, and he's just stab falling off the mountain.
She's like torturing this guy.
Yeah. Well, that's how he died the first time. When,
the time prison in Loki.
Yeah.
Like where Sif just keeps like punching him over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, like their dual area is just like a mountain, and then she's on the ground and he's on top, and then she's just like stab fall. Can I leave now?
She knows, like, if he's on top of the mountain, she'll just like pull the mountain down.
Yeah.
So he's constantly just in a rock slide.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's like, "Can I go now?" And we're like, "Yeah, please leave."
She farts. She fights Thexon. Good lord,
she's a human being. So
she fights. She fights Thexon in the next round.
Wait, does she fart like the sisters?
No comment.
Okay.
Yeah, there was not as
Thexon.
This fight was not as anemonious as I thought it would be.
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, it was fair. I'm glad we were not.
I'm not disappointed. Angry. Yeah. Mm. It's not fun when you guys are just over there fighting and I'm just.
It makes dinner awkward.
Yeah.
It does. All
right, Aaron, next week, what are we
doing? Next week, we have Darth Sion versus Bosk, Bell Zedifar versus Bo-Katan Kryze,
Bell Zedifar,
Mace Windu versus Reeth Sylas, and Leia Organa versus Pong Krell.
You got to do Bell Zedifar. Maybe he'll win next time.
I do have Bell Zedifar.
Oh, thank God. Yay.
Yeah,
we have other guys next week. You know, not Jedi, not Sith.
Yeah,
we have others next week. That's so good.
Good for the others.
And Bosk.
And Bosk.
Yeah. Good that there's still some Kiri in them.
Yeah, I mean, we need some representation.
Yeah,
people with gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, subscribe, talk to us on social medias. Go check out Peaked Podcast. Aaron,
yes.
What was that TikTok person you got the information from?
The Jedi Always. All lowercase.
There you go.
Underscores in between the words.
Yep, check them out. Check out their content. We'll be back next week with the aforementioned fights. Have a good week. Be nice to each other. Mm. We'll see you then.
Bye.
See y'all then.